Yes, yes, yes. On a Monday, Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking up to 2 p.m. Only three shows with you this week, so get in while it's hot.
Yeah.
Chris headed down to Long Beach, so you are caravanning people down to Long Beach. All right.
Yeah, it should be a fun time, I hope. You know, it's always risky when you have a lot of people in a car for one concentrated period of time. You never know. It's going to be two different couples, me and my girlfriend, and then her best friend and her husband. Yeah. So you never know how spicy it's going to get when we're all trapped in trapped in a car.
Yeah, just keep the AC popping. Yeah. Give everybody what you do is you rotate. Hey, you get three songs. You get three songs.
Are you a car sleeper? Like, can you? There's people who like physically can't sleep on like planes and cars.
I can
and
if I need to.
That's what I'm hoping.
I'm behind.
I'm hoping that I just kind of knock out.
Yeah.
And miss the trip.
But. Yeah, hopefully. Well, I hope you don't hit too much traffic. I know one time I was driving to L.A. and I didn't understand why Maps wanted us to get off just to get back on, so I said, don't do it. And it was it was the whole family in the car, and it was about a two-hour decision. So trust the Maps.
Just trust the
Maps. Fire up the Waze, and you'll be okay. Just like the Kings have been more than okay. 3-0 so far on this road trip. They face the New Orleans Pelicans tonight. By the way, Mr. Jambalaya, Mr. Gumbo himself, Zion Williamson, will be playing.
Like, who are you? You talking about Jason Ross or something?
Zion is playing tonight. Okay, so what does that mean for the Kings? Man. Niners take care of business as well, and they face the Seahawks on Thursday. The disrespect, I already saw the screenshots of Richard Sherman with the turkey legs. I know all of this. People might forget. It's crazy because the same way we joke about not knowing that, that DJ Khaled song was from Carlos Santana, or when you do these samples, there are probably young football fans that don't know that Richard Sherman was a Seattle Seahawk. They probably only think that he was a Niner. This guy rides for the Niners so hard. We're going to talk
really
about that about 11:15. Richard Sherman and Stephen A. Smith separately have very conflicting,
passionate,
yes, thoughts about Brock Purdy. We're going to do the success pie that we talked about with Jason Ross. Emil Fragoso at 11, our Sacktown Sports 49ers insider. That is at 11. And the question is, can the Kings really pull off a 6-0 road trip? If you've been listening to us, thank you for listening. If you're new to the show, thank you for hopping in and giving us a shot, because we predicted this road trip, it's not over yet, but I was out of the runnings because I thought they might drop to the Lakers, right? So I was already out of the runnings, but I did have the Kings at 4-2. I believe you said 5-1. And we did have some Beam Team fans that thought, hey, why are we lowballing it? Let's go 6-0 here, and it looks like it's possible.
It's on track. It's definitely still possible. You know, they're in the middle of the road trip right now. They have a tough night back-to-back in New Orleans tonight. We'll see how that goes. We'll see how Wednesday goes, even if the Kings do manage to beat New Orleans tonight. It's tough to beat any team in the NBA twice in a row, so that's going to be a tough matchup.
Yeah.
And then Friday as well, Minnesota, like, if you're going to end this six-game road trip, right now, you kind of can't end with a tougher opponent than Minnesota, who's just playing fantastic.
Squeaked
this
out
year.
Another win over the weekend as well. Minnesota did. And the thing about Zion, and you know, I'm just joking here, but the thing about Zion is there's no question about when he's on the court. Yeah. When he's on the court, he is a problem.
That guy.
The problem has been keeping him on the court. So Zion playing tonight, he should be well rested. He hasn't been playing, so that's gonna be a tough test for the Kings, who right now, when I watched on League Pass the Pelicans over the weekend, it was a Brandon Ingram show. So they got Jordan Hawkins, they got another young guy who can shoot the basketball. So it's gonna be a tough go. Second of the back to back. No, I would assume no Kevin Huerter again. That's a safe thought process there. So yeah, it's gonna be tough. But the only other thing to take it back to the Niners that we wanted to make sure everybody was aware of is that it did get announced about 30 minutes ago. Talanoa Hufanga did tear his ACL.
Yeah.
The good news is if there is good news, relatively speaking, he only tore his ACL. There wasn't any other damage. He only tore his ACL, but that's a big hit. Jair Brown did come in, yesterday and get an interception. Yeah. He held the football. He held on to the football for the rest of the game. He had it in his interview, so he said it's going to be put in a case somewhere in his house. So the people are now wondering, do you bring back Jaquaski Tartt? Do you bring back somebody to back up Jair Brown? A secondary that has had some question marks already, yeah. Not great for the Niners. But besides that, that's the only thing going wrong with the Niners. They have been rocking and rolling. So, again, second week in a row, no case of the Mondays because you have the Kings winning two games, sweeping both games, and the Niners winning as well.
Yeah, how'd you feel about that Niner game in terms of, like, the overall result? Of course, the Niners, you look at the scoreboard, looks pretty comfortable, but mm-hmm. It kind of felt like for a while that was like a three-quarter performance, and then it kind of felt like that fourth quarter, they left it open to be the result to be changed, it felt like it kind of felt, I don't know if it was letting the foot off the gas, but it feels like that's one of those where, yes, you get the result, but maybe if you're playing a tougher opponent or a better mm-hmm. quarterback, Baker played decently well, but you know, if you're going against Patrick Mahomes or a top level quarterback, mm-hmm. does that result maybe go different from the Niners? I don't know. You don't have to worry about it because they that's not how it went, but just kind of, you know, if you're more of a process-driven person, I don't know if that's exactly how you would have wanted to end that game yesterday.
No, because that has been the bugaboo with Kyle Shanahan. Yeah.
That's how they lost the Chiefs Super Bowl,
exactly.
Right?
It's just putting people to bed, right? Just letting them go to sleep, and Kyle Shanahan wants to leave the nightlight on, and mm-hmm. Didn't burn him last night because the Bucs just aren't very good,
right?
But it could burn you against some of these other teams. I mean, the Seahawks, I think they just wake up and they're in a one-possession game, right? When is the last time?
Help it. I mean, they really can't help it.
There's no way this game on Thursday, I wouldn't expect a blowout. I think the Niners should. I think mm-hmm. the Niners are a better team than the Seahawks, but it's a division opponent.
Yep.
And
in Seattle,
it's a rivalry.
Too, right?
Right. So the turkey legs are on the line. Right. I repeat, the turkey legs are on the line, and you cannot have those screenshots. And every time Richard Sherman says something, I'd be like, Richard, did you not forget? This is also you.
Yeah.
This
These
is
are your
also
guys.
You. Okay. Yeah. So I do wonder how Seahawks fans feel about kind of the flip of Richard Sherman. And look, you get your money, right? Get your money. I'm not hating, but honestly, you really do forget that.
I mean, he just capes so hard for the Niners, and it's, you know, it makes sense. I think we all knew, and it's become a very evident that those guys did not like Russell Wilson, and I think by extension Pete Carroll, and I think that's where a lot of the non-Seahawk love comes from. But it is kind of nuts. If you're a Seahawks fan, you got to kind of feel a type of way about this guy who, what, he spent 2-3 years in mm-hmm. San Francisco. He spent most of his career doing most of his damage, won all of his Super Bowl titles in Seattle, and is just constantly pouring love and admiration onto your most hated rival, possibly. Like, if the Kings had, I don't know, I can't even think.
Would it be Steph?
If Chris Webber or something, I don't know. There's not really a apples-to-apples comparison, but I just can't imagine if you had this guy who was such, like, a key figurehead of a certain period or era of your team, successful era at that, and then spends a couple years with a rival and all of a sudden just starts to cape for them. It must be sickening.
Yeah. And the bottom line is this, and love Richard Sherman. Hopefully one day he's a friend of the show.
Sure.
But he's just chasing the money.
Yeah,
right?
For
sure. And right now the Niners are hot.
Yeah.
And as much as the Seahawks find a way to kind of slog through games and get W's, the Seahawks are not winning the Super Bowl. So Richard Sherman is just going with – the Niners have more storylines with the Brock Purdy angle. I think we all know that Geno is – kind of a bridge quarterback. I don't really know what the Seahawks
are actually.
Does
Seattle know that?
I don't know. I don't know what Seattle is. You know, they still got Drew Locke. He's singing Young Jeezy lyrics somewhere.
No clue.
So I don't really know what the Seahawks are doing. Again, it's going to be a tough game, and I would love to see what happens, because if the Seahawks win, don't be surprised if Richard Sherman starts reminding y'all, hey, I was with the Seahawks for a very long time. So the whole thing is just funny to me. If you want to be a part of the conversation, you already know what it is, 916-339-1140. And Chris,
yes,
we keep receipts here, and the 209 is coming down your road on this glorious Monday morning.
That?
Chris, your Luka got crushed. Fox is better than Luka. He runs his team better. Last night showed Luka wishing he was drafted by the Kings to play with Fox. That is from Jamie. He says, ha ha, JP. That's from Jamie. And it was bad. Can we talk about it?
It was really bad.
Because, man, the whining, the complaining, yeah. It was all on display.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times in, you know, sports talk or whatever, water cooler talk, there is a lot of hyperbole and just, oh, we're exaggerating how bad Luka made me not look good, but look like I wasn't exaggerating because he was on full display, man.
It's every play.
It's every play.
And everybody says it every time. Every team will tell you when they play Dallas, it's like, you know, same thing that you're saying. Like, everybody likes to go over the top and say, no, but it is every single play. Yeah. They are campaigning to referees. And it feels like they got even more. They got Grant Williams now throwing in his 2 cents to people. Like, it feels like the referees are just never getting a break when they play Dallas. And, you know, whatever. If they feel like it works for them, more power to them. But it's exhausting to watch because I think it makes it really tough to be a Luka supporter or whatever I want to call myself. I think, yesterday is definitely an example of what it looks like when it doesn't go well with Luka. And I still personally think he doesn't have the right team around him. I don't love the pieces that are around him. But, yeah, I mean, he does have a tendency to hold the ball way too long, shoot really bad shots because he almost plays this hero ball where he feels like, this game is on my shoulders and my shoulders alone.
But that's why we got into it on Friday because I don't know. Nobody knows what Luka needs.
I think he just needs people to support him around him. Like, I think Kyrie is overqualified to be his teammate.
What, Chris?
Chris. I think that he just needs shooters around
Jalen
him.
He had Jalen Brunson.
Yeah, and Jalen Brunson needs Luka ball in his
hands and the shooters.
Too much. Yeah, that's what he needs. It's like LeBron. I mean, LeBron had a similar thing where
LeBron needed Kyrie.
It was helpful to have Kyrie because LeBron was a little further in his career and he was trying to, you know, take the load off a little, not have the ball brought down every time. Luka is more than willing. As a matter of fact, he would love to bring the ball down quite literally every single time.
No,
and have
I know.
Everything
that usage rate is literally going to break the scale.
Yes.
We're not getting back into this.
We're not getting back into this. But it did look really bad yesterday, and the Kings did a great job of making life incredibly difficult for Luka because that's how you got to make. That's how you beat Dallas.
Let him whine and complain.
Let Luka shoot. And, you know, sometimes the problem is Luka will give you 40 like that. Like, sometimes he'll complain. He'll take ridiculous shots and he'll hit 40. Other nights he'll miss and he'll be inefficient and he'll complain and then he doesn't play defense and you can take advantage of him like the Kings did yesterday. I will also say, not to make excuses for Dallas, but Dallas was also on the second night of a back-to-back where they were playing the Milwaukee Bucks the night before. So I would say, all intents and purposes, you know, they were probably pretty tired and pretty exhausted. And frankly, Dallas held into it for about 3 quarters.
Yeah, you had the JaVale McGee revenge game getting chippy there.
No,
you got a little bit chippy there. There was a push, and JaVale was not having it.
You could feel those emotions.
Right, JaVale was not having it.
That was overly sensitive.
Exactly, and look, as far as the Kings and how they're competing, you just said that about the Mavericks, the second of a back-to-back. At home, right? Kings are on the road. If the Kings come out, take care of business in the Pelicans, again, just no complaints if... There's no complaints if they come out and take care of business. Got to get to a break. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. this Thanksgiving week. We are going to wait on the... What's your favorite side dish? We're going to wait for Wednesday for that. That will be our Thanksgiving special. We will also play beans, greens, potato, tomato, probably 17 times that day. So just so... That's right. That is well done, Simone. See, Simone, when you're rolling... You're rolling.
Oh,
you're like Kevin Herter.
Thank
you. Get on the hot
seat, good morning,
rolling.
Sacramento.
That's right. You are rolling. Also, Emil Fragoso, 11 a.m. to talk some Niners. Okay. We are going to get into Kings Pelicans, breaking down Zion's return, what that means for the Kings. CJ McCollum also obviously still out. We have the text line, and thank you to the text line for spelling my name correctly, 916-339-1140. Unfortunately, you're saying LeBron needed Kyrie, Styles knows nothing about basketball. 916, I'm the one who said that LeBron needed Kyrie, so I think you might have a switch. So Chris knows nothing about basketball, apparently. And 916, again, LeBron fan gives fans their money worth. Styles go home.
Man, people just don't like
you. Yeah, I'm not really sure what's going on here.
Or something.
What's funny, because literally just last week, we said... one thing about LeBron, because we were talking about the not fouling out, and we said one thing about LeBron is that he does not load manage.
No.
So, new listener 916, thank you for listening to the show. Keep rocking with us and call in. We'd love
to hear from you. Hear your opinion.
Before we move on to the Pelicans, and we've talked a little bit about Luka, and we're done. Because I can't go back and forth with you anymore. I can't.
There's no point.
I did wanna get to Wemby and how he looked, because Wemby is in one of those situations right now where it feels like every other game is a good game. Mm-hmm. He's having a stinker and then he's having a good game. And if you look at what happened against the Spurs, right? The Spurs had been challenged by Popovich because they've been playing like hot garbage, right? And Wemby, he had 8 points that game before they went up against the Kings, which I don't know, by the way, how that's physically possible.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Especially after watching him play.
How do you not run into 10 points?
It felt like he got 10 points off lobs.
How do you not trip and fall into 10 points? But anyway, he goes off. I think he played well against the Kings. I think the Kings, you know, the Spurs just aren't a good team.
Yeah.
But I did think that was a game where if you mess around, you had a couple guys on that team in season
Zach Collins,
tournament
game.
Zach Collins, what, 28 or something like that?
Goodness.
So I think that could have been tough for the Kings. That could have been a game where you think, man, that was a bad loss, but we're on the road, we're this, we're that. And the Kings say, no, we're going to take care of business. Everybody got what they wanted out of that game.
Mm-hmm.
Both teams. Popovich got a better effort from the Spurs against a team that they just aren't as good as. And the Kings, they got the heat put under them a little bit.
From Jump Street.
From Jump Street.
They were down like 22-5 at one point to start that game.
And how are you going to respond? That could have snowballed, and the Kings responded. So we're not doing more victories for the Spurs here, but I think all around – Popovich was happy about it honestly, you still need more pieces. So go ahead and get back in that lottery again. And the Kings come out with the W, and they do get reminded, hey, we cannot sleep on any team because that you do that and you lose to teams you're not supposed to, you're in a world of trouble, especially in this Western Conference.
Yeah, I mean, the Spurs looked great for a team that quite literally doesn't have a point guard. Like Jeremy Sohan was running point guard for them pretty much the entire game. And that's really the biggest problem is Wemby just needs a guy who's going to be like, we're going to run 10 pick and rolls today. And like we said earlier, you're probably just going to get 8 lobs. It's going to be a problem. It's going to be unstoppable. They don't even have a guy who can just routinely run it. Trey Jones is out right now. And so, they're running Jeremy Sohan as their point guard. And he is just not a point guard. And I think Wemby still, maybe it is because he doesn't have a point guard, but he's just got a lot of fat that he needs to trim out of his game. A lot of like random threes that were taken, 15 seconds left on the shot clock, a lot of turnaround mid-range jump shots that just he doesn't need to do. Like, I'm not saying Wemby doesn't need to take threes, but he doesn't necessarily need to be a volume guy who's taking it early in the shot clock. I think he needs to take his almost like how Sabonis is taking his right now. Run pick and rolls, run an occasional pick and pop, and if they leave you, you have the ability to hit it. But I don't think – I understand they're just trying to, let Wemby do everything and see what sticks, but – it feels like even now he can be a more deadly weapon than what he already is. And it's scary because the Kings, the Kings aren't alone in this, but they have nobody to throw out there on him. Like, they were throwing Harrison Barnes. Ugh.
Yeah, that
didn't look
rough.
Good. Keegan Murray, funny enough, Keegan just incredible defensive effort. He looked probably the best against Wemby, but realistically, There's no answer for him. You can't put a guy like JaVale on him or even Sabonis on him defensively because Wemby's so fast. It's incredible how well he moves. He got one dunk where he, took a three. There was a long rebound. And then as his teammate got the rebound, he just cut right into the rim, beat Harrison Barnes to the spot. He's so quick, you can't put big guys on him. But he's obviously so tall that you can't put guys like Harrison Barnes or Tobias Harris or regular forwards on him either. So he's just got to kind of figure out how to be the most efficient Wemby possible. And once that happens, it's a wrap. Like, I don't know what anyone can do to stop him. How many lobs were there in that Kings game where he was literally that one alley-oop that I can't remember who threw it to him on the fast break. It was the worst fast break I think I've ever seen, but Wemby was just standing underneath the rim, and so he threw it up and he just threw it down. I don't know what you're supposed to do with him.
Well, right now, and Greg Popovich has even said, right now, we're just letting him spread his wings and do his thing. We're not telling him, hey, do more of this or do less of that.
I think they said they just started running plays for him.
Right. So it's really just been pickup with just just Victor Wembanyama. And what's interesting is he possibly right now, when you talk about his game, and we talk a lot on this show about being a jack of all trades, master of none.
Right.
And when you have so many different things that you're good at, right? The world is your oyster, but at the same time, you haven't honed in on anything. Right now, I think Wemby might be the tallest tweener in the history of basketball. Right?
Yeah.
He doesn't really know. Yeah. I'm going to be Kevin Durant this go round. I'm going to be Tim Duncan this go round. Which, if he molds it, right, is going to be ridiculous. But right now, he's just kind of flying by the seat of his pants. And I'm just going to chuck up a three right here because I can make threes.
Yep.
And now I'm going to do a turnaround J. Now I'm going to post you up. And there's no rhyme or reason to the game. And, you know, to bring up LeBron again, LeBron and KD, those are guys who are going to use the boxing analogy again, those are guys who throughout the course of the game, I'm not going to show you everything. Or to use a baseball analogy, you get through the lineup the first time through and you've only had to use your fastball and your changeup. They haven't even seen your curveball yet, right? So now they come up and they're sitting changeup or they're sitting fastball and they say, oh, he's got a hammer too, and now you got to deal with that. Wemby is showing everything within the first 5 minutes of the game, and which is, okay, I can't stop it if you make your shots, but at the same time, there's just nothing. No rhyme or reason.
You're not going to win a lot of games. And I think that's kind of what the Kings game ended up coming down to, was they were so reliant on Wemby, but to your point, they don't really know exactly how to, like, keep it going. Like, Wemby does everything, and he's not, like, harping in on, okay, you're just killing them on the left block, turnaround jump shot. Let's just do that 10 times. He's trying to do everything to the sense of, yeah, when it gets to a close game in the fourth quarter, they don't have a guy to go to. Zach Collins was their best weapon. He didn't really have many answers. I mean, you can try and give it to Wemby, but he's just, I don't think he has it yet where it's, you know, fourth quarter, late game, give me the ball and clear out. He doesn't have that in his game yet. And so, yeah, I mean, that's kind of their downfall right now. It's they're way more focused on the bigger picture, clearly. I mean, they're trying to be bad and have Wemby do as many things and get his feet under him as quickly as possible. That's their only goal this year.
Right. And look, you want to be bad, but I don't think the Spurs, what would you say the Spurs believe this Wemby plan to be? Because they're bad now, but you don't want to stink for 5 years. I would say this is
probably the only year you want to be
bad. I would say
like
the 2 year
bad
plan.
Yeah.
And you know what? And I hate to do it because you know we love him here, but we've had a conversation, and you can probably guess where I'm going. We've had a conversation about Malik Monk wanting to maybe get that big money and a starting role.
Austin Reeves was someone who was thought to maybe be interested in San Antonio for a similar reason this offseason. They have tons of money, and they have they definitely have open roles to be thrown out. And so,
we are hiring.
Yeah.
We are hiring. Help wanted.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I mean,
that's something to wrap up
your point, but yeah, definitely the Malik Monk thing. They're going to have a lot of money, and they're going to have a spot open if they want
to. And you get to play with Wemby.
There's worse things in this world.
I'm not. Nobody's trying to get the Monk Yard Dog out of here. Love him.
No,
but he's just been so good.
Yeah.
Right. And what do you do when somebody's been playing that well? We have a lot of time to worry about that, but just something to monitor when you look at some of these teams, and they don't want to stink for a long time. I mean, I think the Wemby plan is probably shorter than the Blazers plan. I don't know.
Which
I don't know. I mean, the Blazers did pay Jeremy Grant. I think no tank plan is longer than two to 3 years.
Yeah.
Right? It's just a matter of how good are you going to get.
As we've learned here in Sacramento, though, Mike Tyson, everybody's got a plan until you get hit in the face.
And everybody's got a plan until you have Marvin Bagley. Yeah,
nobody plans to have a 16-year playoff drought, let me tell you.
No.
You just kind of stumble upon it.
Well, what about if they had the play-in? We got to look back. What about some of those play-in years?
I think they would have made it like twice in the play-in.
That's more than
nothing.
So you're saying there's a chance. Yeah. Got to get to a break. When we get back, the question is, can the Kings really pull off 6-0? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Grabbed by Harrison Barnes into the front court to Fox, finds a seam, challenges Wembanyama, score the basket, and he's fouled. A three-point opportunity as Wembanyama came over to try to seal off Fox, and Fox took it right at the 7'3" rookie.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, that is from Friday. I mean, the Kings are just rolling, they're rolling, and we are happy to hear about it. We're happy to experience it. Can they go 6-0, which is the question, which seemed, you know, you don't want to do Homer Radio.
Exactly.
You don't want to just say, of course they can. They're never going to lose again. So I think we both played it safe. I played it safer than you, right?
Yeah.
Saying 4-2 and you saying 5-1.
I wanted to say 4-2. I just wanted to be adventurous and,
well,
you know,
and now
be
you're
exciting,
looking
and now I look like a genius. So.
It looks pretty good right now. Did have an update from our texter on the from the 916-336-339-1140 if you want to be a part of the conversation. Because I like the back and forth. If it everybody we,
you definitely
no,
like
no,
the
no.
back and forth.
No, I'm saying if everybody plays between the lines,
yes.
We have no problem. So
we're just talking sports, y'all. Like,
yes,
it's a
yes.
Good,
the 916 says
conversation.
916 says, hey, wow, your response time is so quick and professional. Stars have sat for so many years versus the Kings, it struck a chord. You have to understand the pain of this franchise. No one here was getting their money's worth, but we are the hottest team in the NBA right now, so let's ride this train. Alan from Sac. After all
wow.
that, Alan, me and you
a
got the same first name,
Alan.
Brother. We got the same first name. We're both Alan from Sac.
Wow.
There you
all
go.
All from the same miracle, huh?
There you go. Sactown Styles. That's what we got right now. All right. So you got the Pelicans twice. Mm. Not a back-to-back, but this first game coming off a back-to-back. And then you got the T-Wolves. Mm. Can they do it? Can the Kings go 6-0?
They can. This is the tough stretch. This is the stretch where I kind of thought they would pick up at least two losses. Like, because of the fact that you're just so much travel is involved in this trip, but also the back-to-backness of it and also the New Orleansness of it too. That definitely has been talked about a lot by everybody. I even heard them talking about it on the broadcast. Everybody knows New Orleans is, you know, very known for being a poppin' city with a poppin' nightlife. Now,
is it number one? No,
no,
Miami's
got to be one.
New Orleans.
Yeah. New Orleans is probably a sneaky two, though. Like,
right.
New Orleans is probably number two. Like, you know, New York is going to have its nightlife.
It's
though.
In the top
That's
five.
Probably a little
it's in
bit
the top
different.
Five.
LA, of course. Yeah, it's top five, unquestionably.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe it might not be tonight where, you know, the Kings flew in yesterday or
right.
this morning. Obviously, I would hope, didn't have enough time to get it in at night. And so, you know, Wednesday might be the more troubling nights if you're worried about the what they call it, the Miami flu. If you
yeah.
want the New Orleans flu
right.
might come across our timeline on Wednesday. But with all that said, I think this team is an incredibly focused team. I don't think there's many, you know, young guys who are trying to hit the town
no.
after wins or before games or anything like
it's
that.
It's a business trip.
Yeah, I think this team is very singularly focused on success, and I think they all understand of what it takes. And frankly, beating teams like New Orleans, even though it's on the road, even though you're on a second night of back-to-back, this is a team that you it's not going to be easy, but this is a team that you should beat at least, at the very least, one of two times for sure. Minnesota's just a tough opponent. You're playing them at home. That's the last game of the road trip. That's usually the toughest one. That's when you're looking forward to getting home, sleeping in your own bed. You're like, oh my gosh, this thing is finally over. All we have to do is get through tonight, and then maybe later tonight I can sleep in my own bed. That's going to be a really, really tough one.
Yeah.
That's
especially
almost like
if they have
loss.
Five.
Yeah.
Because if you have five wins already, you could look at it like, hey,
already
we get out of here 5-1.
Yeah.
We get out of here 5-1.
Gravy.
That's a win. And we would all agree.
Mm-hmm.
But if what's better than 5-1 is 6-0. And
right.
I feel like obviously if they have an opportunity, but I think to your point, it would be a tough one. It is in season tournament game. So you know,
and
maybe
it's maybe the most important. Like, this is actually where the in season tournament matters now.
Right.
Both of those teams are 2-0. I think Minnesota might even be 3-0 already. The Kings need if they want to win the group, which might not be necessary to move on to the knockout round, but if they want to win the group, they straight up have to win on Friday.
Yeah.
Like, no question about it.
Yeah, so you have the two games against the Pelicans, you have game today, and then they play again on Wednesday, and then you have the T-Wolves on Friday. And the other thing is, really, not to bring it back to them, but you have to look forward. The other thing is you look at that game on Friday and who do they have next when they do get back home.
Do we have to? Are we sure
Warriors Kings with Draymond's return.
Do we have to play the Warriors
again? So I think that, you know, teams really take the identity of their leader or leaders.
For sure.
And I don't, to your point, De'Aaron Fox seems like a pretty low-key guy. I don't really think he's out here in these streets wanting to go clubbing or anything like that, especially because, I mean, it is, right, to your point, it's today, which is a Monday, and then they play on a Wednesday. If that game was on Saturday something like that, or even a Sunday, might have some issues, but don't have to worry about that. In my opinion, I think this Kings team is hyper-focused right now. I think they know that they're getting that momentum. No Kevin Huerter, so they all know they got to be on their P's and Q's.
Right.
And as
much as we
call Harrison Barnes Mr. Please wear a suit, Harrison Barnes. And if you weren't, basically, Harrison Barnes, he's a good teammate. He is a
great
professional.
Great veteran leader.
Great veteran leader. He is the guy that tells the other players to wear a suit. Yes.
Yeah.
What should I wear? Just wear a suit, right?
Wear
a suit and invest. Don't buy
cars.
He's
got that Steve Harvey. You get three different suits,
yes,
and you can have 800 different combinations or whatever. That's what Harrison Barnes is telling his people.
Right. I got two jackets right now, personally, that I rock. I need to add one more, and then I'll have the good rotation.
Exactly.
The good rotation
going.
You
should be a blue, a gray, and a
black
or something. And
you're solid.
You could wear tons of different combos.
And I think this is where a guy like Harrison Barnes comes into play. Hey, guys, let's not mess around.
Right.
And look, the Kings are a young team, but we're not talking about, and I always reference this same team, we're not talking about a Orlando Magic or a Houston Rockets or even a Blazers team here or the Spurs, right? This team has great aspirations. And, you know, from media day on, they've been, not even from media day, from the moment the clock hit zero in that game seven in Golden 1 Center, they have been hyper-focused to get back on track, take the next step. Now that they got a taste of it, athletes talk a lot about getting a taste of that success and getting a taste of the playoffs. Now that they had a taste of it, I don't think they're going to let some jambalaya or alligator bites, okay, or Bourbon Street affect them.
I hear the beignets are crazy.
No, beignets are crazy, but you have to get good. Out here, you got to get good beignets. Sometimes you get, one time we had a beignet and it just tastes like a donut.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
thinking
that's what
this
had.
Is not it.
Where it's just like,
this
is
not a beignet.
The one with cream?
No.
No, that's.
No. Beignets are just fried dough with powdered sugar on top. But
see,
you got to do it right.
Yeah, I got to get that.
And it kind of just melts in your mouth. French Simone wants to make an appearance.
Right.
Oui, oui.
Café Dumont?
Really?
Yeah.
Is that local? That's in town?
No.
Or is
that's
that in
New Orleans?
Orleans.
Okay.
That's like the world famous beignet place.
Wow. Okay,
see, I'm uncultured.
Yeah, no, I have to go back. Like I said, I haven't been New Orleans since I was a wee child, so I need to go back.
Yeah,
but hopefully you get the beignets after the W.
You get
the beignets after you celebrate.
You get
with
that
beignets
on the plane ride.
I want to say it's 24
ride.
Hours.
Really?
I went there late night.
Oh, hey.
Oh, hey.
Whoa.
It's like a voodoo donut situation.
Yeah,
yeah.
There you go.
Oh,
there
man.
You go.
Okay.
So, you know, that'll be.
That's dangerous.
That'll be what you congratulate yourself with.
Exactly.
You get some jambalaya, you get some gumbo, you get everything you need, and you get on the plane and celebrate taking care of business.
Yep.
And then you get this T-Wolves team who is, I mean, they're hot, man.
Yeah.
They've really figured it out.
It's not like, you know, Dallas. I was kind of planting the seeds of some fraudulent behavior, fraudulent record from Dallas with the teams they've beaten.
Right.
That's not Minnesota. Minnesota's got the record, and they also have stats to back it up. If I'm not mistaken, they are still the number one defensive-rated team by far in the NBA. Let me double-check this. Yeah, the Minnesota Timberwolves, as it stands right now, they have the third lowest defensive rating. There was a period of time in which they were number one by far, but they have 107 points per 100 possessions, and a lot of that is because they have Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert is not Chet Holmgren. Mm-hmm. He's not Victor Wembanyama.
He's
That's a dude who's got he's got some size. He's built his body up throughout the years. And, I mean, there's a reason why Minnesota gave up an arm and a leg and five first-round draft picks to get him. It's because, legitimately, you have Rudy Gobert on your team, and you instantly become a top-five defense because of his impact around the rim. So that's going to be a legitimate problem for the Kings.
Got to get to a break. When we get back, yeah, it's Thanksgiving, so we're talking about pie, but not blame pie this time. Success pie with the 49ers. What percentage are you giving to Brock Purdy, and should he be an MVP conversation? Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Emil Fragoso, our Niners insider at 11. to talk about the Niners taking down the Buccaneers, and they kind of played with their food a little bit. Baker Mayfield hanging around, but ultimately the Bucs, you know, they just, they're not it.
No.
They're not it. And Mike Evans, I don't even know. Mike Evans and Godwin, I don't even know if they'll be on the Bucs. I don't really know. We talked about the Seahawks and what their plan is, and a lot of teams and not having a plan, or the 5-5s, all these teams that are 5-5, 5-6. I'm not really sure what the Bucs' plan is. The Raiders, actually, the Raiders holding Miami to 20 points. I mean, this could be one of the best Raider defenses that I've seen in the last couple years here. And unfortunately, their problem is on the offensive side of the football. I like Aiden O'Connell. I think he could be a good player, but it ain't going to happen this season. Nah. So are you back in the sweepstakes? I mean, you're already paying two coaches you fired.
Right.
You're going to pay Jimmy, even though you're paying Jimmy to ride Pine right now. So I've talked about the Raiders being in the Kyler Murray sweepstakes. I don't know that. Look, you don't have to worry about Kyler running the town. You just got to worry about how strong the Wi-Fi is, because he's just gonna be gaming the whole time. So you don't got to worry about him. Simone, you just were in Vegas. What's the big ones in Vegas?
The big ones?
The big clubs. It's escaping.
Oh, like Marquee.
Hakkasan, yeah. You don't have to worry about Kyler doing that. You got to worry about him playing the new Madden or
yeah, for sure.
Call of Duty or something like that. Exactly. Fortnite, whatever it is. So right. I think that the Raiders should think about that, because you got Devontae.
Sure.
And
it'll be a good way of keeping him happy.
It would be a good way of keeping Devontae happy. Aiden O'Connell, I think he's a nice player, but I don't know if the life is about timelines, right?
Sure.
And if you're not going to move on from Devontae, which they said that they weren't during the trade deadline, you know, before it passed, then you can't rock
this
with
point,
Aiden.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You can't.
You're doing Devontae Adams a disservice at this point. Like, you got to try and keep this guy happy while he is here. I mean, if your plan is to be bad, then sure, trade off Devontae Adams, get as many assets as possible. But if you want to compete, which at this point, there's no reason why the Raiders shouldn't, you got to go out and get a quarterback. You have to be legitimate at quarterback. And if they believe that their defense is, they don't have to be great, they don't have to be top tier, but if they can just be top 15 or 16 in the NFL, I think they have enough offensive weapons. If you believe in Josh Jacobs, who they would have to sign, if I'm not mistaken, because they had the whole franchise tag thing this offseason and didn't end up signing him to a long-term deal. So it's possible, but there's definitely a possibility also of a big shift point with them possibly not bringing back Josh Jacobs. Maybe they do trade off Devontae Adams and then just bring in a new coach and rinse and repeat. Here are the Raiders in rebuild mode yet again.
Antonio Pierce first loss as the interim head coach.
He did not look happy.
No, didn't look happy. Look, I think that, again, what the Raiders do, they'll win just enough games to not be in the Caleb Williams sweepstakes or the Drake May sweepstakes. So because of that, I think you can't sell off, because you're not even going to get a high draft pick.
Yeah.
So
the Kyler thing makes some sense. If you're going to have 15 or something, you might as well trade off 15 and maybe next year's first for a guy that you at least know what he is.
That's assuming, because the Cardinals have looked much better since Kyler returned. Yeah. That's assuming that the Cardinals want to move on from him, which I don't know. And Kyler has that big contract. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, interesting to see what the Raiders will end up doing. All right, let's talk Niners now and success pie. I want to give you some numbers as far as the defensive side of the ball. We all know how good Brock has been offensively, but I want to give you some numbers defensively as well. First, I want to give you these Brock numbers. Offensively, Brock Purdy leads the NFL in almost, this is from Niners Dog on Twitter. Brock Purdy leads the NFL in almost every single QB metric. Number one in quarterback rating.
Okay.
Number one in QBR.
Can I just say that those are two stats I don't care about?
Okay. Sure.
I keep seeing Brock Purdy at the top of both of those lists, and it feels like one of those things that if anybody else was first, we probably just wouldn't talk about it.
Number one in completion percentage.
That's a thing. That's a very real thing.
Number one in touchdown percentage.
Okay, sure. I think I know what that means, but okay.
For Mr. Dink Him Dunk himself, number one in yards per attempt.
That's
crazy.
Definitely not nothing.
That's crazy to me.
That's definitely something.
And number one, you're probably not going to care about this one, passing success rate. You're going to laugh.
And an EPA as well, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, for sure.
That's right. Now, yesterday, Brock Purdy against Tampa Bay, 21 for 25, 333 passing yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions, Perfect 158.3 passer rating. First Niner to have a perfect passer rating in a game since 1989.
That was, I haven't heard that stat.
It was Steve Young and Joe Montana. First yep. Niner to do it since Joe Montana and Steve Young.
Mm-hmm.
Should he be in the MVP conversation?
Yes, he should be in the conversation. Should mm-hmm. he win MVP? I don't think so, no. But does he belong to be in the conversation? Mm-hmm. Absolutely, 100%. I mean, he's on one of the best teams in the NFL, and he's now put back-to-back weeks has put performances together that speak to an MVP campaign. Like, he has brought his team back through his play, not singularly through his play, but his play has been a direct representation of the Niners turning their season around after three straight losses. He's been great mm-hmm. in these two wins, and he was in the MVP discussion before those three losses. So right. I feel like if they're back on track to be the team that they were at the start of the year, it just makes sense to put Brock again in the conversation. I'm not saying he's leading it. I'm not saying he has any shot at winning it, but mm-hmm. if we're having the discussion of who are people who belong in the MVP chat, Brock has to be one of the 3 to 5 guys that you bring up.
Yeah, he has to be. He
just
deserves
brought
it.
Up. Just brought up.
Yeah, he deserves it. So, you know, it's not about trying to hate on Brock or anything like that. I think he deserves it. Here are the numbers that I wanted to get to defensively. So these are the last five winners of the NFL MVP award. In 2022, when Mahomes won it, the Chiefs' defense was ranked 16th. In 2021, when the Packers won it, both years, in 2021 and in 2020, both years when Aaron Rodgers went back-to-back. It's insane that he won MVP back-to-back, by the way.
Don't get me started. Don't get me started.
The Packers were ranked 13th, their defense.
Mm-hmm.
2019, Lamar Jackson, the Ravens were ranked 3rd.
Mm.
2018, with the Chiefs again, that defense was ranked 24th. Which is insane.
It's ridiculous.
Insane. Patrick Mahomes won the MVP that year.
He sure did.
This year in 2023, most recently because the Niners have picked it up a notch, the Niners are ranked 1st.
Okay.
And I say all that to say it's just going to be really hard.
Mm.
It's just going to be really hard for offensively to have those weapons.
Right.
I think you can look past that. But the fact that you have a top five offense that you're helping, right? For
yes,
sure. You are a
absolutely.
Part of that offense. But you got a Debo. You got a Debo. You got a Kittle, right? You have Christian McCaffrey, right? And then defensively, you have the best defense in the NFL. So you're getting put into good situations. It's going to work against him. It reminds me of when Kevin Durant went to the Warriors
right.
and Steph and KD both understood we're just not gonna win MVP, right? Not that you don't deserve it, right?
Right.
It comes to that word of valuable
mm-hmm.
and what value do you bring the team? And I think that's what everybody's gonna struggle with
yeah.
with Brock Purdy. I don't think it's Dan Orlovsky. I don't think it's Mac Jones would look like this. But on the other side of it, I can't say that only Brock would be able to look like this in the offense. Right. That's the struggle.
Yeah, nobody likes their MVP to have any help. That's kind of what
but
I
also
what
win
I
games.
Took. Yes,
but
you also
games.
Have to win games. You have to persevere. It's mm-hmm. really almost like comeback player of the year or something, where it's
yeah.
more so about story and
yeah.
about what are you overcoming
mm-hmm.
as opposed to your actual play and what the award itself actually means. Because, yeah, I mean, Brock shouldn't be dinged for having a good defense, but I think your stat that you laid out of, yeah, Mahomes having 16th and then I almost called him Favre. Aaron Rodgers having third middle of the road defense and then the Chiefs having 24th. A lot of the time it's about, yeah, like your defense isn't helping you and so you have to score so many points. They don't like the fact that Christian McCaffrey is a guy who's going to get 80 yards per game minimum
yeah.
and Debo Samuel's out. They it's just, again, that's why he's not going to win the award is because he has quote-unquote, so much help around him, and mm-hmm. guys like Lamar Jackson are having to deal with Mark Andrews out and, you know, Odell and all this stuff, and it doesn't singularly shine on Brock as much as it might on some other guys, but I think if we're just talking about pure play,
mm-hmm.
there's not many guys. There's like two or three other guys that are just straight up performing, having performances on a weekly basis that are stacking up with what Brock has done.
Got to get to a break. When we get back, Emil Fragoso, Sacktown's Sports 49ers Insider. That is at 11. At 11:15, I have an apology for Niners fans. I have an apology for Niners fans. And at 11:30, we start our Kings coverage leading up to tonight's game. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.